Pulse.
Welcome back to Front Page 94.7, The Pulse. I think this is the third, maybe the fourth time we've had Leilani McKeon talking about issues regarding China. Each one of them has fascinated me. The subject gets more and more fascinating. So to help us get through the mire, Leilani has come back, and thank you very much for your time. Good morning.
Good morning, Rob.
When we last spoke, it was about the Australian-Chinese business relations, how they'd the imports were somewhat affected, and there were little mind games going on. But it's certainly got worse since then. There's been some more agricultural products that the Chinese have put sanctions on. Then, of course, we've got the matters across the Pacific at the moment in America that will definitely have a major effect between America and China with the outcome, but definitely a ripple effect in Australia. So where are we at the moment? Is it still concerning?
Well, where we're at the moment, Rob, okay, there's been a lot happened, you know, in the China space in the last week with the situation with the lobsters, the timber, and several imports that are going into China. And, of course, we've got the US election, which is really on the edge at the moment. And we've got Australia aligning itself with America and also China being our major trading partner. So, yes, there are a few issues. Now, the situation to me, there are three things that we really need to learn to get on with this and begin to redevelop this relationship with China. The first one is we need to understand how China negotiates, and as we've discussed before, the 36 Chinese strategies are embedded in their culture, so they are experts at negotiating. We need to understand the concept of Guanxi, the translation of Guanxi, G-U-A-N-X-I. There's no real English translation, but the approximate translation is relationship, and we also need to understand face. Now, the situation is, in my opinion, we need to stop thinking about China as our enemy, because this is what's happened since the relationship has gone downhill with China. We are hearing in the media all the time, it's not, the word enemy is not actually said, but this is how we're seeing China. So we need to reestablish how we see China, because the more we talk about China as our enemy, the more they will become our enemy. So that's one of the things that I really believe that we have to reestablish. And Australia, you know, there are no two ways about it. China is our major trading partner, and we really do need to get these relationships happening again. And because it is in Australia's best interest to do that. So what we've been doing has not been working. That's obvious. And we have been coming at this from a very Australian, very Western point of view, which is not working. Now, I'm not saying that we have to become Chinese. And the Chinese are not saying we have to become Australian. However, we have different viewpoints, political, social, and we need to be able to work with China and understand how they think, but it's not about becoming Chinese.
Yeah, it's a very important situation. And just touching in there with America, there's some acquaintances of mine who've made the connection with Donald Trump is the only person on the planet who can deal with China. He's the only one who stands up to them. But and that's their reason for supporting him, to protect. We need him to protect us from China. But that is just ludicrous in the circumstances that I feel that we need to be working with, not in fear of.
Well, exactly. I mean, working against China is not working. And the way that China negotiates is not about, you know, I win, you lose. It's very much about manoeuvring. It's like a chessboard. You know, when we play chess or any strategic game, but let's use chess as an example here, we need to understand how the other person moves about 8 steps ahead. But it's not about just completely abolishing them in the first move. So it's about understanding your opponent. And we can think of China as an opponent, I would like to think of China as a trading partner, and China has been, we have a lot of history with China, and we have developed this thing called Guanxi, and we've worked very hard at that, you know, over the last probably 20 years. It is really just the last year and a half, or 2 years, but let's say the last year and a half really, and especially this year, that this relationship has spiraled downhill. And I don't think we expected that. When we had the investigation into the COVID-19 situation in China, now, I'm not saying that the investigation was wrong because we needed to do that. However, it's how we did it. It's not what we do, it's how we do it. And we need to rethink how we're actually approaching China and how we do things.
You mentioned the strategies, and they're very interesting. Excuse me. You sent them to me, and I read through them. I'm sort of reading this as a bit of... I don't think bluff's the right word. Is it just a subtle reminder from China doing these things that they are serious about what will the need to retain the relationship, but there needs to be, you know, a continued alignment with it, and a reminder that Australia could be acting independently rather than being... playing, kowtowing to America. Would that be a potential of China's warning, bluff, whatever you like to call it?
Well, look, you know, I think Australia has to re-establish itself. And, I mean, it's in a very interesting situation because we are aligned with America, but, you know, China is our major trading partner. Now, whether it's about how we deal with America... I personally think it goes back to the COVID, the coronavirus inquiry and how Australia did that. If we choose to really understand China, I don't think it's going to really matter about the situation with America. And I'm not saying that we ditch America, because that's certainly not actually going to be of any use. And we need to align ourselves with America, but we also need to, you know, develop this relationship with China. So I don't think everything rests on the America situation. I think we have to go forth and use the knowledge that we have and the relationship that we've developed. It's almost like China is doing something, then we're going, oh, you know, what's going on here? What's happening? And that's really, in a way, what China wants, because we're using up all our energy. I mean, if you were to look at what strategy is being applied right now, it's wait leisurely for your exhausted enemy, which is strategy four. You keep prodding and prodding, and then your enemy, I use enemy in a code word.
Yep, yep.
I don't mean that... you know, that Australia is the enemy. But it's about the other side getting very exhausted. And we are getting exhausted with this. We are getting really exhausted. And, you know, we hear how the minister is trying to communicate with China via telephone, putting calls through. This is not being acknowledged. Is there any reason why we can't get on a plane and go and visit China? Seriously, is there any reason why a high-profile minister cannot just get on a plane and go there?
My conspiracy theory on that would be that we seem to be just sitting back and waiting for America. I've got the impression that if our administration acted outside of the way the American administration expected us to, then we might be frowned upon and there'd be reluctance from Australia to do that. But that's the only reason I can think of that would stop us from doing normal diplomatic relations with a country, putting aside how it may be perceived somewhere else.
Well, that's true. However, we really have to look at how we, you know, what we are dealing with China with, and how, you know, because China, when we think about it, Rob, China is actually very reliant on our exports, their imports. They're very reliant on our resources and the things that, you know, they have put, you know, they have put tariffs on, and you know, with our exports, they are very reliant on these things. Like, they love our lobsters, they love our products. I mean, it's not like they don't like them. And we have, you know, compared to America, in my opinion, I see Australia as the boutique market. You know, we're not the Walmarts or, you know, the McDonald's or anything like this. We have very, you know, very high-level boutique products. So we are quite different to America in that way. And it, you know, we need to see ourselves as different in that way, but still align ourselves with America. But, you know, to say that everything rests on the election, you know, we can sit back and say, oh, well, our, you know, our relationship with China just rests on the US election. We need to push forth with our own relationship with China and our own products and see how we can really, you know, we can really redevelop this relationship, because it's not as if we're starting from scratch. We already have about 20 years history with China, or even longer.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of solid relationships there. It's just right now, it's a very turbulent relationship. And, you know, we need to know how to manoeuvre those chess pieces. It's a very tit-for-tat thing at the moment.
Yeah. It seems to me the centrepiece of the relationship still will be iron ore, and from that, the other boutique products, as you said, should stretch. So China certainly, I wouldn't be bold enough to say they couldn't function without Australian iron ore, but it would be very difficult. So they definitely need us in that area, it would seem. And it's just a matter of soothing over those relationships and getting back to normal. Because, as you said, the relationship's already there. It's not broken. It's just a little bit bent.
And, you know, looking at other products as well, now, yes, iron ore. Iron ore is also, I mean, iron ore is for construction. Most of the time it's for, you know, for infrastructure. China's infrastructure has actually changed. It's more about technology. So, you know, there may be a point in the near future that they don't require iron ore as much. However, we have some really excellent technology products. We have some excellent, you know, biotech products. Because we're a small population and we have a lot of support for innovation, you know, for products to actually export to China. Things like health products, but health products, you know, say that something in an aged care market, but with a digital application. There's a lot of different products now, apart from the iron ores and, you know, and the wine products and the barley. There's a lot of different products at the moment that are very sought after, you know, from China. A lot of Australian products and a lot of Australian, you know, technology, expertise, this kind of thing. So we may be focusing on something that is there, and it may not be there in the future purely because China has changed a lot throughout the COVID situation. Like all countries, you know, we're working more remotely, we're using more technology now, we're looking more at health products, exercise, this kind of thing. China is very much focused on that at the moment. So maybe it's about time that we really look at what the contemporary business world looks like in China.
We're not knowing for sure. Things are looking like they're, after a long legal battle, there might be a change of president in the USA. Would China be comfortable with it if that was the case, do you feel?
As far as the change of president?
Yeah, a potential change of president in the US. So those relationships would probably be, could be redrawn?
I think they probably, look, China is able to redraw relationships. It has done, you know, with many different countries. This is not unusual for China. China itself, though, has a leader that, you know, goes in for 10 years. Quite a different structure to most of the world. So remember that, yes, America, you know, is either going to change their presidency or, you know, or not. But remember that China is dealing with many, many countries besides America and Australia, and they are actually used to presidents and leaders changing every 3 or 4 years, mostly every 4 years, because most countries do that, and sometimes they do it more. So it's not really unusual for China to be able to adapt and understand this, because America isn't the only place in the world that's done this.
Leonie, thank you again so much for your time. I really appreciate it. There's a little bit more clarity there, and again, we just don't need to be fearful. Just a little more sensible, relaxed and calm, because both countries need each other. We all know that, but there's people happy enough to build up perhaps some tension that isn't necessarily there.
Definitely, and we've got to cut through that tension. We hear about all the tension. You know, I say if someone is already dealing with China, which a lot of people are, if it's not affecting you in the moment, go forth. Don't get caught up in the things that are going around you. And if something does happen, try to redevelop the relationship. So, you know, China is our major trading partner, and it really is time that we need to really stop talking about them being, you know, our enemy, but start talking about, well, we're going to learn about China. We're going to learn how China thinks. We understand we've got different ways of thinking, but, you know, we can work with that.
Yeah,
We're smart people.
Sound, calming advice. Really appreciate it, Leonie. With your permission, we'll check in with you again, because I love these chats, and I look forward to our next one.
Thanks so much, Rob. Have a great day.
All the very best. Leonie McKeon, who makes a living out of developing and holding relationships with Chinese business to help Australian businesses enter into that market, and also come back the other way to help Chinese interests source products in Australia. And that relationship thing is so important. Completely different cultures, different ways of looking at things, but if we learn, understand and respect each other, I'm sure the good relationships will continue.